I wouldn't have admitted it to anyone, but the truth was this. I had vowed never to return to this place. Oh yes, I had dreamed of it 1,000 times. The sweep of vines marching across rolling slopes, the sun and slash of white heat against the sky, the shimmering light and dappled shadows. But always my dreams twisted dark, the skies dimming with heavy clouds, rough winds stirring the leaves into a hiss of whispered secrets. Always I woke with a start, my heart thundering a strange beat, and a lump in my throat that sips of cool water could not dissolve. And yet here I was, my first morning in Burgundy. From the windows of my room, the vineyards appeared exactly as I had imagined them, lush and verdant with late summer abundance. In 2 weeks, or maybe 3, we would begin Le Vendage, the annual wine harvest, and I would join the teams of pickers, gathering the crop by hand in time-honored Burgundian tradition. Until then, we watched as the fruit grew ever sweeter, the Chardonnay grapes warming to chartreuse, the Pinot Noir deepening to dusky black. And we waited. A knock at the door made me jump.
"Kate," called Heather. "You awake?"
"Morning," I said, and she stepped into the room. Her smile was exactly as I remembered it from college, a merry flash of crinkled eyes and small, even teeth. "I brought you some coffee." She handed me a mug and pushed back her dark curls.
"Did you sleep okay?"
"Like the dead." After traveling for almost 24 hours from San Francisco, I'd fallen asleep as soon as my head hit the pillow.
"You sure you're okay up here? I'm afraid it's a little Spartan."
She glanced around the room, empty except for the narrow bed made up in crisp sheets, a bent wood coat rack filling in for a closet, and a battered desk by the window.
"It's fine," I assured her, even though she was right.
Despite the bouquet of flame-colored dahlias on the mantle, the polished floorboards gleaming like honey, these empty attic rooms couldn't shake their forlorn air, the walls peeling faded paper, the windows gaping naked. "I don't think these rooms have changed since I was a kid."
"Oh, yeah. You came here with your mom, right?
I forgot this was where you used to stay. It's been empty for about 20 years, ever since your grandfather died. But don't worry. Like I always tell the kids, there's no such thing as ghosts." She winked and I laughed. "Anyway, I'm sure we'll find some more furniture in the cellar. I saw a bedside table down there the other day."
"You guys have been so kind," I said impulsively. "I can't thank you enough for inviting me to stay."
Heather and I hadn't seen each other for years, but when I emailed her 3 weeks ago to ask if I could volunteer at their wine harvest, her response had been swift.
"Come as soon as you like," she'd written.
"Le Vendage will be sometime in mid-September, but in the meantime, you could help us with another project." Now she brushed away my thanks.
"Don't be silly, you're family.
You know you're always welcome here. And like I said, we've been wanting to clear out the cellar for ages. She hesitated, throwing a sudden glance toward the window.
"The timing is perfect."
"This is my first vacation in years," I admitted. Back in San Francisco, my job as a sommelier meant long hours on the restaurant floor. Any free time was devoted to studying wine, and any travel reserved for wine research. I always scheduled red-eye flights so I could race from the airport to the lunch service.
"I dreamed of eating at Courgette's," Heather said wistfully. "I still can't believe it's closed."
"It was a huge shock to everyone, especially after we got that third Michelin star." But before I could continue, the roar of an engine thundered outside, and glancing through the window, I saw an orange tractor rumble into the courtyard. My cousin, Nico, was behind the wheel. Beside him sat another figure, tall and lean, his face hidden by shadows. Heather moved beside me.
"There are Nico and Jean-Luc. They took the tractor to the shop this morning."
I set my mug on the windowsill so that the coffee wouldn't spill. "You guys see Jean-Luc a lot?"
"Oh, yeah. He and Nico are still super tight, and super competitive, of course. She laughed.